Welcome you tonight. Hopefully those on live streaming got to hear that. That was just their warm-up prelude. We haven't even started yet, but I'm sure glad that you're here tonight. And this is the Praise Men from Maranatha Baptist University. That's where my wife and I went to school. That's where Tyler's going to school. That's where Jason's heading off to school here. And hopefully many more to follow. Right, guys? So I'm super excited to have them here tonight, and in just like 2 minutes, I'm going to be done up here, and the rest of the time is going to be theirs. At the end of the service, we will be taking a love offering for the group, just so you'll know about that. And then afterwards, I encourage you to take some time, get to know these guys, and talk with them, ask them about their studies, what they're studying. Ask them what God's doing in their life this summer. That'll I'm sure get you some exciting responses. Has God been working?
Yes,
amen. Good. So looking forward to you guys getting a chance to know them. Ask them questions about the school. They have a table set up there in the back as well. Let's go ahead and pray together, and then we'll have them just come on back up. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for the ministry of music, as we will be blessed by it here tonight. We pray that the music will not only speak to our hearts through the music, the words, but that it will also be honoring to you as well. And I pray that our spirits will connect with yours through this medium of music tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
That is our desire, and I hope that is your desire tonight as well, to join together as a body of believers to lift up our hearts and to lift up our voice and rejoice in all that God is doing in our lives. Well, we are the Praise Men from Maranatha Baptist University up in Watertown, Wisconsin, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight at Grace Baptist Church. And Pastor, thank you so much for the invitation, and we're so thankful that you are here as well, coming out on a Tuesday night. I know that's not the normal night that you all gather, but we're thankful that you've chosen to be here, and our prayer is that the music ministry would just be an encouragement and a challenge to you and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'd like to begin tonight by just introducing ourselves. You have an idea of our name and where we're from, and then also what we're studying there at the university. So we'll begin up here on my left, your right, and work our way across the stage.
All right, my name is Andrew Holloway. I'm from Birmingham, Michigan, and I am halfway through my master's degree in organizational leadership.
I'm a second-year seminary student at Maranatha Seminary. My name is Caleb Letzring, and I am all the way from Orlando, Florida.
My name is Micah Herbster. I'm from Ringgold, Louisiana, and I am a senior pastoral studies major there at the university, also working on my master's in Bible.
My name is Joel Montgomery. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a junior studying trumpet performance and arranging and composition, and then I'm also working on my master's in Bible.
I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My name is Jaron Fair. I am a junior, and I am studying church music and voice performance.
Hi, my name is Dylan Keener. I'm from Worthington, Pennsylvania, and I'm a junior music major studying church music and early childhood music.
So the Lord has allowed us the opportunity this summer to be on a 12-week tour of the United States, out representing the university and worshiping with about 70 different churches across the nation. And this is our final week out of 12 weeks, and so we're on our way back up to Wisconsin to end our summer ministry. And we're so thankful for all that God has allowed us to see and do, and the many different people that we've gotten to meet, but we're excited to be here tonight with you all. Really, our desire as a ministry team is to encourage your hearts and to also invite you to be active participants in worshiping our God this evening. Oftentimes, when we come into a setting like this and you have a special group into your church, it's easy to kind of just sit there in the pew and kind of be a passive spectator. But we would like you to be active in worshiping the Lord with us. And so I'd like to just read a brief portion of Psalm 96, where the psalmist invites God's people to join in worshiping the Lord. And Psalm 96, verse 5 says this: "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." And really, it is because of all that God has done for us, salvation, the word of God, the sacrifice that Christ has paid on our behalf, that we can know him and we can worship him in spirit and in truth tonight. And we can give a song of worship back to our great God of light and love.
And draws a stranger nigh, once sons of darkness born of night, now welcome theirs in glorious light. All praise and glory to the King, a song of worship now we bring to the God of God of endless love, who gave to us a home above. Oh joy, joy, Christ Jesus the Son has conquered death, the day has won. The light of heaven left his throne to give the wandering child a home. O
joy, joy, the Spirit within illumines, seals our life in Him. He groans and intercedes on high, that we might of a Father cry. All praise and glory to the King, a song of worship now we bring to the God of perfect light, to the God of endless love, who gave to us a home
into that last song. I hope you noticed that every verse of that song pointed to God, and specifically a specific part of the Trinity. The first verse was about God the Father and how He adopted us as His own children. The second verse was about Christ the Son and how He died on the cross and had victory over death. And the final verse was about God the Spirit and how He intercedes for us, and at the same time is right here within us. And because of all of that, the chorus came and went, all praise and glory to God. And that's the part that we have to do. God has done all of this for us. And yet I think a little too often we forget to point back to God and say, thank you, all glory and praise to you. And this next song that we're going to play is the old hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done.
Well, it certainly is true that we serve a God that is worthy of all praise and all glory. And when I think about the glory of God, I think about when Christ rode into Jerusalem. And he said that even if all the people around him were to stop crying out his praise, the rocks themselves would cry out because of his glory. And it's amazing to me that the God who was so worthy of praise and glory was crucified just a few days later. You know, the Bible says that your righteousness and my righteousness has the same value as filthy rags. But Christ showed that unbelievable love by coming and dying for you and me anyway. But not only did he love us enough to die for us, he lives to mediate for us as our high priest. The end of Hebrews chapter 4 says that no matter what sin comes into our lives, and no matter how we backslide, we can come boldly before that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace in our time of need.
Can it be?
One of my favorite lines in that song says, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise that we can look forward to. And I hope that the messages of these songs and the songs themselves have been a blessing in your heart as they've been to us as we've sung them this summer and prepared them this year. And that is really our purpose. As a ministry team, our purpose is to come in and to glorify God through song, through testimony, and through the conversations that we get to have with you in the couple hours that we are here. We hope that that has been accomplished here in the short couple minutes that we've been with you already. So the second purpose that we have as a ministry team is to promote the university. So we are from Maranatha Baptist University. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the school and then a little bit about the table. And then we will sing a hymn and dive back into some more of worshiping the Lord and talking about what he has done for us. Maranatha Baptist University is a Christian liberal arts university located in Watertown, Wisconsin. If you don't know where Watertown, Wisconsin is, I'll help you out just really, really quickly here. Watertown, Wisconsin, if you draw a straight line between Milwaukee and Madison, and then you take the middle of that line and just bump it up a little bit, right there is Watertown, Wisconsin. Okay? I apologize, I did not look up the hours that is away from here, but I'm sure you folks know. Four hours? All right, 4.5 hours away from here, all right? So we are excited to be here. As Micah said, we are wrapping up the tail end of a 12-week tour. So I was telling a couple of you before the service, we've been in all sorts of different states, from Minnesota and Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, all the way down to Texas, Louisiana, and then all the way back up here. We are wrapping up on Sunday night will be our last service. So we really appreciate your prayers for safety as we finish out the week, and then also just rejoicing in the safety the Lord has given us. So very quickly here we have a gray and white piece of paper on the back table. And inside here is just pictures of each one of the guys with a little bit about each guy. We really appreciate if you just take one of these and pray for us as we finish out our travels as well as getting back into school this fall. So we would really appreciate your prayers for safety, rejoicing in the safety the Lord has given us, the ministry that he's given to us, the opportunity to have in churches just like yours. So I said that Maranatha Baptist University is a Christian liberal arts university. What does that mean to us? For us, that means that God has ministry for each person in the space that they are in life right now. Maybe that's in the local church, or in business, or in the medical field. Maybe it's in military, or even the sciences, whatever that is. We believe that God has ministry for the talents that he's given you. And we want to train you to become leaders in the local church and the world to the praise of his glory. Hopefully you're seeing that in action tonight with each of these men as we travel throughout the summer. And the training to become local leaders in our churches and in worldwide ministry. And that's really what the heart of Maranatha is. Every opportunity that we offer, every major, every minor, every experience that our students get to have is focused on that ability to train leaders, to improve each and every one of us as individuals, as Christians, and as leaders. So I hope that you will be able to see that, whether it's through the music, through the testimonies, through even talking to these guys. We would love to talk to you. One of my favorite things about the university is the local church. So about a 2-hour radius of our campus, we have about 150 different local churches that we partner with to have our students be a part of. So we're very excited to be a part of those churches. The six of us guys here tonight represent about 5 different churches that we are able to be involved in on the weekends and on Wednesday nights and even throughout the weeks at some points, whether it's in the youth group or maybe Sunday school, leading music, special music, sometimes even the chance to preach. We get those opportunities to be able to see how the Lord is going to use us in our local ministries someday, but also to get the chance to build relationships with our local church families and be stretched and grown by those individuals. Another one of my favorite things about the university is the faculty and staff members that are there. Each one of them strives to invest in our lives, not just for the purpose of making their own education or their own efforts look good, but for the purpose of seeing us as individuals grow academically and mentally and spiritually. And we are very, very thankful for that. I'll tell you that next year is going to be my 6th year at the university. Don't worry, I did finish my 4-year degree. It's a master's degree that I'm working on now. And so I'm very excited, but I tell you, from the investment of the different individuals that I have been with, whether it's professors, dorm supervisors, or my boss now, I have really changed who I am. I'm a very different person for the better than I was when I entered the university as a freshman. So I want to share with you a couple different things about the university. Maybe you've never really heard about us before, or maybe you've heard the name, but don't really know where we are or what we stood for, whatever that is. So I've told you where we are, what we kind of stand for, and I'm going to give you some information about us. So there's the opportunity for you. So I'm just going to share you with a couple things that are on the back table there. First of all is a view book. This book right here, there's a line of them down the right-hand side of the table, and this is going to give you a quick snapshot about the university. This covers everything from mission statements to academic statistics, a long list of our 39 different majors and minors that we offer, as well as some other brief things, some brief info for you to kind of get a quick snapshot about who we are and what we stand for. Maybe you're looking for some type of current events, what's going on at the university right now. And I would offer this to you. This is the Advantage magazine. These come out once every year. And so we were very happy to share this with you. This particular issue covers last year, and covers everything from how our sports teams did last year to even how we got through COVID and how the Lord works through that. And so this covers some of our philosophies, some new opportunities that we're excited to offer this year, as well as some experiences that our graduate students have had the opportunity to have. All right, so this is a great option for you to find out what's going on at Maranatha. I encourage you to pick up any of those materials on the university. There's many others that I did not mention, and we have plenty of them, and we have just a short time left. So please feel free to grab two, and we would be very happy for you to grab some of those if you're interested in it. If you just want to look through it, you can grab it, take it home with you, and then once you're done, you can do with it as you like. So that's all that stuff is for free. We also have some things for sale, some good godly Christian resources. This one right here is a sermon series, what we call the chapel series. And there's a set of four books back there that we are happy to offer. These are books from every semester for the past couple years. What we've done is that we've had our faculty and staff preach through a specific book of the Bible during our chapel sessions. And once the semester is finished, we take those messages on that book and put them into a book form. We do edit them so that they're readable. And then we give you an option to go through here and read these messages in a book study. So this book I'm holding right here is entitled Truth Fueled Godliness. It's on the book of Titus. And then we also have books on the book of James, book of 1 John, and then also Philippians. I will tell you that there's only one full set left. That's on the back table. We have a couple extras there, but if you're looking for the full set and the one on the table is gone, you can also find them on Amazon and I believe on our website, mpu.edu. So these are going for one for 10, and the full set of four books is $30. So if you get there first, you can have the set on the table. If not, you can find them on Amazon. We do have some extras back there that aren't in the full set, so you can just ask the guys back there. Then very quickly, I'm just going to talk about a music recording. We have several of them back there. I'd just like to highlight our newest one, entitled Come to Me. This CD is done by Maranatha. It's done by a 16-voice recording choir, has 16 different songs on it, runs for about an hour long. You've actually already heard two of the songs that are on this CD. The first one, Rejoice, Lord is King. There we go. And then the one that we just sang, And Can It Be, those are both on the CD. So we are very excited about this one in particular. Has been a great encouragement to me as I've gone through the summer. The Lord has seen fit to put some things in my life. And listening to the songs in this CD, the messages of these songs, have been a huge encouragement to me to put my life at the Lord's feet. And the song that's entitled Come to Me in here, there actually is a song that's entitled that on the CD, and that's been a huge blessing to me. So I encourage you to come by and pick one of these up. This is going for $15, and there's some older CDs, about 5 to 10 years old, that are going for one for 12 and two for 20. So again, there's a little bit of price difference there. The older ones are one for 12, two for 20, and this one, the newest one, is $15. I'm going to have Caleb come up, and we're going to go ahead and sing another hymn, but I just encourage you to stop by and talk to us, whether it's after the service, whether it's something that you noticed about us, or it's a something that you learned from the hymns, or a testimony. We would love to chat with you about the university, about anything that you'd like to talk to, so please come find us afterwards. Caleb.
Well, we wanted a chance to sing with you and to give you a chance to, you know, stretch out your legs a little bit. So if you please stand and turn in your hymnals or look on the back screen to number 143, and we'll sing the first and the last verses of Be Thou My Vision.
soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb. And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of leaves, while others watch to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stand the clod? Is this my world of friends to grace, to help me on to God? Sure I must fight if I should reign, increase my
Christ. One of our greatest blessings and promises from God is that He'll never leave us or forsake us. This last song talked about being soldiers of Christ. And the next song talks about what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy when he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And the hardness that we face, we can rest in God's promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And the words of the chorus of this next song talk about that. They say, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of His love, and covered me there with His hand.
Thank you.
promise that our Savior holds us in the palm of His hand in the cleft of the rock. As soldiers of the cross, we can rejoice in that promise. But we also, as we live in this world, we also know that we're going to face times where it's painful, times where it's hard. Even though our Lord is watching over us, sometimes He uses those trials, sometimes He uses those times in our lives to draw us closer to Him. When I was an elementary student, my father was diagnosed with colon cancer. For 2 years, we struggled with the fact that my father might die. He went through treatments and ended up with about a year into the case, he became so weak that he really couldn't move. I remember in the mornings, I would get ready for school. I'd put my backpack on and get ready to walk out the door. And I would stop by my dad's room where he was laying on his bed. And I remember that no matter what time of day I went in there, no matter what I did when I went in there, my dad always had a smile on his face. And he knew that we were struggling. It was a hard time in our families. He was in pain, lots of pain, but he always had a smile on his face. I can tell you to this day, one of the biggest lessons that my dad has taught me was to rejoice in the trials that God puts in our lives. I will tell you that my dad was miraculously healed. If you'd like the story, you can come talk to me later. But that was one of the biggest lessons that my father taught me, that I learned from his life, from his words, from his actions. That's one of the songs that we're going to play is entitled "Rejoice in the Lord." It's written by Ron Hamilton. He suffered a very similar accident where he lost an eye to cancer. And through that trial, through that time, he wrote these words: "Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the path that I take." If you'd like to follow along with the words of the hymn number is 680. 680, "Rejoice in the Lord." I just want to highlight one phrase here. He says this in verse number 3. He says, "My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear." What a blessing to know that the Lord is part of our lives. He cares for each one of us, but sometimes He puts us through times where it's hard. But even in those painful times, even though those times where we struggle, even though those times where we don't really know what's going on or why it's happening to us, we can trust that He knows us, He knows the path that I take, and He makes no mistakes.
Thank you. when we meditate on the reasons and why we're able to have joy, even in the midst of the trials that God allows in our lives, we come to this conclusion that it's because God is 100% trustworthy. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And this last song that we're going to sing for you before Micah comes and gives us the word of God is a song that I like to call my COVID quarantine song. And the reason why I like to call it that is because God really just kept bringing back the words of this song into my mind as I went through the events of that were this last year. And it's written from a unique perspective. It's written from the perspective of God telling his loved one to trust him. And if I can just draw out one phrase of this song, it's in the last verse. It says, "I am he who once was dead, now alive, my suffering done." And that phrase reminds me that even as God has the power over death, he has the power over any situation or any problem that I might face in my life.
Thankful tonight that we have a God who is worthy of our trust. They asked the question in that song, "Will you trust me as your rock while the storm still rages on?" And I'd like to remind us of a powerful truth from Psalm 91 in verse 2, where the psalmist says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." You see, it's not our own strength, it's not our own ability, it's not our own understanding that brings stability and security to our life. It is the rock. It is our God. It is our almighty fortress. And when our hearts are overwhelmed, when our lives are overwhelmed with trials and struggles and temptation and suffering, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I trust that that song was an encouragement to your hearts. I'm thankful tonight that in times of trouble, in times of tribulation, in times of fear, we can go to that God tonight. And I hope that's just an encouragement to your heart. And it's been such a joy for us to be here. I hope the music has just been an encouragement and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a praise man, we come into a setting like this and we have no idea what God is allowing in your life. We don't know the trials that you are facing, but we trust that God has brought this music to your church tonight for a purpose and for a reason, and that your hearts would just be encouraged this evening. Like Andrew said, we'd love to talk to you after the service, so please feel free to stop by the table. We'll all be standing in the back, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. I guess I was here in 2013 with my family, and my dad is Evangelist Mike Herbster, my uncle Evangelist Mark Herbster, and I was reminded by several things here in the building, but it was not the auditorium. Some things have changed in here since 2013, and it's a delight for me to be back, and lots of good memories here. In our final year of traveling as an evangelistic team, this was one of our stops along the way, and so we're thankful for your church and thankful for all that God is doing right here at Grace Baptist Church. Well, I'd like us to take our Bibles tonight and turn for just a moment to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, please. And just want to give us one simple truth, one simple thought from the Word of God that hopefully will just be an encouragement in your life. You know, tonight I probably don't have to spend too much time convincing you that there are hardships in life. It's not a surprise to us that life can be difficult, life can be hard, and there can be stress and there can be fear. Recently, I heard somebody put it this way. They said, you know what, every once in a while, I think to myself, wow, I just kind of have life all together and life is really good. You know, it's kind of smooth sailing. And then I think to myself, oh, that was a really nice 45 seconds. And isn't that how we live often? It's kind of from short moments of peace and short moments of pleasure and ease to long moments and long weeks and months and maybe even years of suffering and hardship. And maybe you're facing something like that in your life tonight, whether it be a trial or a sickness or losing a loved one. I want to encourage us with this truth that when those things come into our life, there is one place that we must go, one place that we can go to find real and lasting rest. And so in Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, and he says to us tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is a wonderful invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ that he is extending to his disciples, that he is extending to us as believers here tonight. When you're weary, when you're worn out, when you're tired, and when you're fearful, come to me. Isn't that a wonderful invitation for us tonight? That no matter what we're facing in life, there is a place of rest, there is a place of stability, there is a place of refuge, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you aware that there are folks across this nation today who are looking for this? They're looking for rest. They're looking for relief from their anxiety, from their fears, from their stress. And they're looking in all the wrong places, aren't they? You know, the world says, oh, just make more money and you'll have happiness and you'll have rest. Have a better and more stable family life. And that's really where happiness and joy comes from. How about this one? Follow your own heart. You know, do whatever you think is best. And that's really when you have satisfaction in your life. That's really when you're going to find rest, and life will be just a little bit easier when you do that. Well, you know what? The world is finding out that they can pursue those things and they can go after those things. And Christian, we can go after those things and we can search for rest and peace in those things. But I'm here to tell us tonight and boldly proclaim that you can look and you can search and you can long for peace. You can long for rest, but you will not find it here in this earth. You will not find it here in the material pleasures and entertainment and friends and in making more money and having more stability. No, there is one place. There is one person that brings rest. And you notice here in Matthew 11, verse 28, that Christ does not say, oh, go out into the world, make more money, and that's how you're going to find rest. No, he says, come to me. In other words, what he's saying to his disciples is, don't waste your time looking for pleasure and satisfaction and rest in this old world. No, when you're weary, when you're worn out, come to me. And I love the description that Christ gives of the person who he invites to come to him for rest. In immediate context, Jesus Christ is addressing those who are worn down and who are suffering under the weight of the law, and they're feeling the pressure from the Pharisees to fulfill the law and follow the rules and do all the right things so that they'll have rest. And they're trusting in their religion and their ritual to find this rest. But no, Christ says, come to me. And he says, come unto me, all you who are laboring. This has the idea of an active sense. Those things in our lives that we are asking for. This is our job. This is our family. This is the people who we are choosing to invest in and pouring our lives into. And so these are active things. But then he says, those who are heavy laden. And here is a passive sense in the idea that these are things in our lives that maybe we don't ask for. Things that we didn't see coming. It's the financial burden that we weren't aware of. It's the sudden death, the sudden sickness in our family that we just weren't expecting. The things that catch us by surprise and that burden us down. And the wonderful reality for all of us tonight is that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, whether we are choosing that burden or whether God is placing that burden upon us and seeing fit in our lives to put us through a trial, he says, no matter what you're facing, bring your suffering, bring your burdens to me. For he alone will give us rest. And the wonderful promise that we can claim is found in the second half of this verse, where Christ says that he will give us rest. This is a promise from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can claim tonight as his disciples. That no matter what we are facing, no matter what burden you might be carrying tonight, if you will take it to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, he will give you rest. Many years ago, as a young boy, my dad began to teach me how to ride a bike. And for my 5th birthday, I got a brand new bicycle with training wheels on the back. And it was a little Tonka truck looking bike. It was black and it had these yellow stripes around it. It was really cool looking. And so I began to learn how to ride my bike and had those training wheels on the back. And I would ride around church parking lots and different things like that as we would travel throughout the country. Well, the day finally came where Dad came to me. He said, okay, Micah, today's the day. The training wheels, they're gone. You're going to learn how to ride a bike like a big boy. I said, sweet, let's do this, you know. I strapped on my helmet, got my elbow pads on, got the knee pads on. And I said, all right, Dad, here we go. And we went out to the church parking lot. He grabbed his toolkit. He said, we're getting rid of these training wheels. Threw those in the dumpster. We're not going to need those anymore. And I sat down on my bike to begin to learn how to ride the bike like a big boy without the training wheels. And so Dad kind of grabbed onto the back of that seat, and I sat on it, and I had my hands on the handlebar, and I said, here we go. Dad says, all right, Micah, you ready? 3, 2, 1. And he sent me off, and I began to pedal as fast as I could, those little legs, and got about 10 yards down the parking lot, and boom, take a little spill. I think I need some more training on those training wheels, I thought to myself. And, oh, you know what, it's no big deal. The elbow pads, they didn't work so well, but that's all right. Hop back on the bike, and Dad kind of sends me off again. I start riding as fast as I can. Boom, take another spill. Now the tears begin to come. Oh, this is hard. This is painful. I don't know if I want to learn how to ride a bike anymore. This is too difficult. Well, my dad says, no, Micah, come to me. Let me help you out here. I said, oh, okay. Get back on the bike, sends me off and boom, fall over again. Now I'm really hurting. This is not super fun. And Dad says, oh, come to me, Micah. Let me help you. I said, no, Dad, listen. I'm a big boy. You see, I'm like 5 years old now. I got my helmet on. There's no worries here. I'm safe and secure. Just let me figure this thing out on my own. My dad says, no, let me help you, my son. I'm about 40 years old, 35 years old. Now I've been riding a bike a lot longer than you have, and I got a lot more strength. I'm definitely stronger, taller, a lot wiser than you. Like, let me help you out. No, Dad, you don't understand. I've been training for this like my whole life. I'm real mature now, And, I hop back on the bike and boom, fall again. And Christian, isn't this how we live sometimes? We're riding the bike of life and we're going through life and we're falling and we're failing and we're hurting. And Christ stands here and says, my child, come to me. No, 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 God. You don't understand. You see, I've been a Christian for many, many years, and I'm mature, and I've got this thing figured out. I really think I can handle this on my own. I'm going to rely on my own understanding. You see, you don't know how much money I have in the bank, God. I really can figure this one out. You don't know the relationships that I have, that I've built, that I've cultivated in my family. Just let me figure this one out. No, no, my child, come to me. Let me give you the rest that you're looking for. Let me give you the peace that you're longing for. What does the Bible say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, oftentimes we don't run to the Father. We don't trust him because we don't know his character. We don't know his strength. We don't know his wisdom. We don't know the Lord Jesus Christ like we ought. And so we trust other things. And this is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see, the Apostle Paul understood something, that when he suffers, when he goes through trials, and he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is sweet communion. There is sweet fellowship, because in suffering, in going through hardship, there is that identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for you and for me. And Christ had rest through that suffering. And Christian, tonight, we too can have that rest. We can have that peace that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through in this life, when we will go to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have this true, this lasting, this restored rest. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? I'd like Dylan to come to the piano for just a moment to give us an opportunity to respond to the truth of the Word of God and the truth that has been presented throughout the song service. Christian, what is it tonight that you're relying on, that you're depending on? You remember what the verse said that Caleb quoted just a moment ago? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Too many Christians at times will say, yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord with this. I'm going to trust the Lord with this. But this one, I can't give this to God. No, it's everything. It's all in. It's all or nothing. And so, Christian, whatever it is tonight, would you give it to the Lord and would you go to him and trust him that he will restore that rest to your life? So right now, as Dylan begins to play, would you just do business with God? So sweet to trust in Jesus. Folks, just to take him at his word. You can do that with Matthew 11:28 tonight. You can take him at his word that when you're hurting, when you're suffering, and you go to him, he will give you rest. What a wonderful promise for us to claim tonight. Father, tonight we're so thankful for the wonderful promises of your word, especially this one tonight. It's found in Matthew 11:28, that when we go to you with our burdens and our trials and our suffering and our hurt and our fear and our temptation, you will give us rest. We praise you tonight for that. We praise you for being an all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful God, who's worthy of our praise, who's worthy of our trust. And Lord, may we trust you by your grace more and more. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be here tonight. I pray that some part of the service would have just been a blessing and encouragement to these folks at Grace Baptist Church. We're so glad for what you're doing in this body of believers and how you're working in them and working through them to shine the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in this community. Lord, would you give us your strength and enable us by your grace to continue to press on, to live for you, to serve you, to know you more, and to love you with all of our heart. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, or verse 30 says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus. He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, "Follow me to higher ground."
Time. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. Not just thank you for the music. I think we need to thank them, too, tonight, even personally before you leave. Thank them for them allowing themselves to be a tool of God this summer. And I'm sure it's probably more of a blessing for you all to be used that way than it was for us as recipients. But we definitely appreciate your willingness to do that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for, again, this ministry. Thank you for tonight and what this music, the words, the truth that's been given through many mediums here tonight. Thank you for ministering to my heart, and I hope others will be thanking you as well right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was growing up, I remember listening to my dad talk, and it happens to all of us, but we become like them, don't we? And I've caught myself saying or thinking, it's like, oh, man, the kids these days. I tease Pastor Taylor because he's one of these. Those millennials. Oh, what is this world coming to, you know? And let me just encourage you, folks. These young men you saw here tonight, there's hope. Amen? There's hope. God's not done yet. And there's more of them too. So if you've got unwed daughters or anything, you know, Maranatha. Sorry, Tyler. I really didn't mean it that way. I'm excited. I'm excited. I've been encouraged. And you know, there are many ways that we can show appreciation, can't we, for people. And I think it would be appropriate, as these men are making their way back, that we just show our appreciation. All right. Thank you for coming tonight, folks. We have a number of visitors here. We've had this in the paper and things like that, advertising it. So if you see someone you don't know, just go up and say hi to them. All right. And it'll be embarrassing if they tell you, well, I've been coming here for 3 years. Have a good night.